Welcome back to the Toggle Theater Tony Show, our ninth edition, and very, very happy to have someone who I cannot believe has not been with us since 2006. I can't believe so many years have passed since we've had Jeff Sweet, the playwright and critic and teacher, on the Toggle Theater Tony Show. He'll be weighing in on some very, very big categories because, well, he's a very big, important guy in theater. He's a widely produced playwright. American Enterprise was done years ago off-Broadway. He's had other shows off-Broadway and in regional theater galore. His newest play is about the lawyer William Kunstler. He's at the same time writing a book of the history of the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center for Yale University Press, and he's on the council of the Dramatists Guild, so he's a Tony voter. All of that and much, much more. And so we're honored to have with us once again Jeff Sweet. Hello, Jeff.
Hiya.
How you doing? How's the season been for you?
Well, the season's been pretty good. It's always at this point is kind of overwhelming because so much stuff opens at the very end of the season. So you end up going to five or six shows a week, and stuff begins to bleed into each other. Because the theory that the producers have is that you're going to be more likely to vote for something if it's more recent in memory. So they tend to pile everything up in the final 2 months.
It is kind of a true theory when it comes especially to the design categories and some of the acting stuff.
I think that there's some legitimacy. Every now and then something wins that opened earlier in the season and people go, huh? What? I suppose there's legitimacy to it, but it means that much of the rest of the season is, if it weren't for the non-profit theaters opening things on a steady schedule, fairly sparse, certainly in terms of the commercial pieces that open.
Well, speaking of the commercial pieces that open both early in the season and towards the end, let's get right to our categories with Jeff Sweet. Jeff is, first of all, going to be covering Book of a Musical, and the nominees are A Christmas Story, The Musical, with a book by Joseph Robinette, Kinky Boots, with Harvey Fierstein penning that one, Matilda, The Musical, Dennis Kelly, and Douglas Carter Beings' book for Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. Jeff, take it away.
Well, I'm going to be a Grinch. I'm going to be grumpy and say that I wasn't happy with any of these books. I may end up ultimately voting for Harvey Fierstein's book because at least I think it's technically a decent piece of work. I seem to be in the minority on Matilda. My big disappointment this year is that Doug Wright wasn't nominated for Hands on a Hard Body, which I thought was the best book of a new musical that I saw this season on Broadway, easily.
So what is lacking, would you say, in some of the nominees then? What's missing from Christmas Story, and why didn't you like Matilda?
Christmas Story, part of the problem for me is that it's kind of attenuated. When you have a show in which there are four or five fantasy sequences, it suggests that perhaps there isn't enough story, so it's just, keeps being padded. Now, it's charming. It's a perfectly charming show, and it's the kind of thing that I was, as a seasonal piece, happy to see, and I suspect it will be even more charming if it isn't done in that big barn, the Lunt Fontaine, where it seemed to be overwhelmed by the space. Kinky Boots, to me, is I just sat there anticipating from moment to moment. I was anticipating what was going to happen 15 minutes ahead of time. There was nothing really surprising or terribly new about the show to me. I don't know the original film. It's certainly craftsmanlike because even at his least inspired, Harvey Fierstein is a craftsman. But I've admired a lot of his other work a good deal more.
Now, can I ask, Matilda has turned into a real love and hate show on Broadway.
Yeah.
There are people who think it's a real masterpiece, and then others who are like, either they couldn't hear the actors or they're complaining about other things. You're not a fan. Why?
I'm not a fan, although I'm not a hater.
Okay.
It seems to me that there's a number in there in which the crass mother sings a song about how it's terribly important to be loud. And this show decries people who are loud. And the show's one of the loudest damn shows I've ever heard. So it seems to me to be slightly hypocritical. Are there funny lines in it? Yes. Is there some music which I enjoyed? Yes, although I found it stylistically a little monotonous. The best parts about Matilda for me are the performances and the design. And as I was not terribly engaged by the material, I was always engaged by the performers, and I thought that the material was served very well by the director.
Now, not to leave out Douglas Carter Beings' work on Cinderella, what did you think of how he took an old Rodgers and Hammerstein TV show and turned that into a Broadway musical?
Well, you know, he's not the first person to attempt this. People forget that Steve Allen wrote a book for Cinderella for the New York City Opera, which apparently is mercifully forgotten, and that there were subsequent TV versions. I'm not a fan of this. I think that if you've got Harriet Harris, who is one of the great comic actresses of our time, if you've got her on stage and in the evening she doesn't get to land a single solid laugh, there is something wrong with the show. As a story, it doesn't make an enormous amount of sense. Why is it that a change of costume is all that it takes for Cinderella to be able to hide her identity to the prince? It makes no bloody sense. I mean, she isn't even wearing a different wig or glasses or anything. At least Clark Kent had the excuse of glasses. I sat there not believing much. There's some nice choreography. Much of the music, of course, is gorgeous. Costumes are miraculous. We've got an amazing cast there, and I think that the material doesn't serve the cast and doesn't serve the show. Remember, the original show was 70 minutes long.
Right.
With room for, you know, 15, 20 minutes of commercials. This is comes in with 2.5 hours with an intermission. So there's an enormous amount of padding. But they can't just stage the 1970 version because, of course, it's got a lot of values that are not seen today. You can't call Cinderella's sisters ugly. Right there, they're
facially challenged, I think, is that, yeah.
Frankly, if I want to see a version of Cinderella, I go to the old Disney movie, which I think is one of the peak creations of that studio, and has a pretty terrific score itself. Let me chime in on Hands on a Hard Body, which I think is stiffed. Doug Wright wrote, I thought, a really very strong book filled with a very interesting ambivalence about his feelings about Texas, so what is good and what is poisonous about the place, particularly as it's facing economic hard times. Some people have compared it to A Chorus Line in that it's sort of a lottery musical, except A Chorus Line is about what they did for love, and this is what they did for what they do for desperation.
Right.
The book is solid. The score is very strong. The performances, it was just a collection of very strong individual performances. It was not, there wasn't an enormous amount of suspense because you don't ultimately care who wins the car. It's a lottery to see who's going to be the last person standing who gets the car. But then I never really cared all that much who got cast in A Chorus Line. It was an excuse to hear those stories. So I think that this is a show which deserved a much longer life than it got, and I think it's a show which I hope will be done around the country. I'm not claiming it's perfect, but it's a show that surprised me, that has an enormous amount of life. The audience around me cheered their way through the show, and I thought, oh, well, this has got to be a hit. Look how the audiences are responding. Shocked the life out of me when it didn't have a run.
We are talking with Jeff Sweet, playwright and critic. And speaking of the playwright part of Jeff Sweet, what play are you currently working on now? You mentioned it was about William Kunstler, the lawyer.
Well, I'm working on getting it moved. It's written. It opened at the Hudson Stage Theater up in Westchester with Jeff McCarthy playing Kunstler. It's a two-character play. Annette O'Toole, who's mostly known as an actress, of course, but as an old friend of mine, Jeff and I just had the hunch that she would be the right director for this, and she turned out to be a marvelous director.
Oh, wow.
So we opened it up there. We got terrific reviews, including a lovely notice from the New York Times. Two-character, one-set play. And part of the thrill of it was that many of the people who worked with Kunstler, or for whom Kunstler worked, showed up, and they all embraced the play. Three of Kunstler's daughters came. They liked it. They said that the show reminded them of how their father used to embarrass them. The family for whom he was able to secure a house when they were being discriminated against in the housing market in Rye, that family came. Kunstler's former law partner, Ron Cuby, showed up.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And was, you know, enthusiastic. And then what was particularly striking was that Kunstler was one of the people defending the five young guys who were accused in the Central Park jogger case.
Mm-hmm.
They were convicted, and Kunstler died. And then subsequently, these young men were exonerated, and one of those young men, who served 5.5 years for something he didn't do, Yusef Salaam, came to the show. When Jeff McCarthy announced that from the stage, you know, the audience having just heard about the Yusef Salaam case, you know, there was a huge gasp, and people started to weep. Jeff could barely get it out that Yusef Salaam was there, and he apparently was nuts about the play as well. So it's it doesn't shy away from some aspects of Kunstler, which I consider to be less than complimentary, because he was a bit of a showboater. But
hey, so am I, but there you go.
So anyway, that's our hope. We're just gathering our forces and beginning our marketing now, because the run up in Westchester only ended a handful of days ago.
Well, we're having a happy time talking with Jeff Sweet about the big, big category that everybody's sort of weighing in on as well. But I figured Jeff would be a real expert in dissecting and knowing plays and dramas. And so this category is Best Play. Richard Greenberg's The Assembled Parties, Nora Ephron, The Lucky Guy, Colm Tóibín with The Testament of Mary, or Christopher Durang's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. And Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, I think that the momentum is probably going for Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and I'm not unhappy about that. I think it's a marvelous and entertaining play. It is also, and I said this to him because Chris Durang is a friend, I think it's the first play that Chris has written where you get the sense that the author is happy.
Yeah.
I said to him, this play came as very good news to me because it suggests that you're happy. And he seemed to be very startled by this this analysis. But it's a play in which, even though it says the family frequently drives you nuts, that they're ultimately enormously valuable. It's a play, really, about love. He's able to write this and yet not be sappy. It's a marvelous show. I also am a big fan of Assembled Parties, which is marvelous and moving and intricate, with a gallery of terrific characters. And it's a very oddly structured play in that there is a character, I'm not going to spoil this, but there is a character in the first act who you think is just an utter jerk. And at the end of the play, you realize he's probably the hero of the play and nobody else on the stage knows it. It's just something that the audience knows.
Hmm.
And I went, wow, look at that. Look what he pulled off. So I think it's one of Greenberg's best plays. And, you know, I'd be happy if either Vanya or Assembled Parties won. And I think they're both very strong plays. Lucky Guy is entertaining. It's very much a, sort of a Howard Hawks movie on stage. It's a bunch of guys drinking and cussing. It provides the opportunity to watch a terrific group of male character actors, mostly having an exuberant time. Ultimately, I don't know what the play is for. Because the subject matter, I'm not really as interested in this guy as I am in watching the performances. I mean, when you watch Gypsy, there's something larger about the character of Rose, that she's not just a very fictionalized version of the mother of Gypsy Rose Lee. There's some way in which she's this almost Lear-like figure in musical theater. But Mike McClory somehow doesn't have that grandness or stature where he represents something larger than himself. Nora Ephron obviously felt very deeply about the project because she kept working on it up until her final days. And she obviously has a great love for journalism because she kept getting involved with journalists. But as much as I enjoyed it, it doesn't strike me as a very deep play. Testament of Mary, it escaped me. I just sat there and watched Fiona Shaw act up a storm. But it seemed to me to be sort of a gimmick. I'm sure that there are people who will jump on me for that, because there are people who've encountered this in its original form, which I believe was as a novella, and think that this is a profound and beautiful piece of work. But I just sat there not terribly moved by anything in the piece. I sat there and watched Fiona Shaw be brilliant, but it was kind of a cold, detached brilliance for me.
You're not alone. I mean, you're saying people might jump on you for it, but those people certainly didn't jump to the theater. The show closed early.
I don't think there's a natural constituency for the subject matter. So the question is, was there going to be a big enough audience to come in and see Fiona Shaw? I think if they had run it in a smaller off-Broadway theater within a non-profit context, they might have had
Or BAM, something like that.
A success to steam. Not a terrible season in terms of new plays. There were a few good new plays off-Broadway. Maybe the best musical of the season was an off-Broadway musical, which is another Texas show, in fact. It was the season for Texas musicals, which was a very long and overstuffed musical giant, which had all sorts of flaws of excess, but which I never found boring for a moment, and had extraordinary cast. And for my money, was much more interesting than the film.
Well, it has been a pleasure, as always, talking to Jeff sweet. Gotta wish you certainly best of luck with your play, Kunstler, and hoping that will come to New York so everybody can see it, but also to Colorado and other places so everybody everywhere can see it. Also, best of luck with your book about the O'Neill Center and with all the other writing and things that you do. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.